I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, 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 and welcome to The New Normal with me, Deborah Frances White, the show from The Guilty Feminist that daily explores feminism and life in lockdown with one of our Guilty Feminist regulars or a friend of the podcast. Now, today we have our very first Guilty Feminist New Normal guest back because hers did not record because my phone died and it was the first one and I'm gutted. Because she had a great T-shirt slogan as well, which I'm sure we'll hear again today. Yes, it's Alison Spittle. I'm just going to put my glasses on so I can see you. Hello, hello, hello to all of you lovely people who are tuning in. Thank you so much for tuning in. So I'll wait a little bit to bring Alison on so that I don't bring her on before everybody's joined. But I will just say that our T-shirts are going great guns. They're only made on demand. So they're printed on demand. So there's no waste. But if you print one, 100% of the profits goes to the artist that said the slogan. Or if they feel financially stable at the moment, we redirect that to another artist who is struggling to pay their rent or pay the bills. People are excited about Alison. Hello. Hello from New Jersey. Hello. So go and check those out. There are some really good slogans. Ellen Jones's has done well. Big Gay Mess. There's a new one out from Rubes Walsh. I don't know if it's up in the shop yet. It might be. But it's Utterly Alone. And I think it's something like Utterly Alone and Utterly Irrational. I think that's going to do well. Okay, Alison has requested to come on and we've got a few people watching. So we're into the hundreds. If we're 100 above, we're ready to go. So let me bring Alison on. And Alison, join 5, 4, 3. This is just how Graham Norton makes telly now. Hey!
Hello!
There she is, and she always makes an entrance. If you're listening to the podcast version of this, she slid into frame on a wheelie chair with the most incredible headdress.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It's two headdresses. Very excited.
How are you, Alison Spittle?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm okay. I got a busy day today. I'm doing a co-video party, and today it's Goodfellas.
Oh.
So I'm going to dress up as Martin Scorsese's mum, and I'm doing a painting. I'll show it to you.
Nice.
So this is a painting here that she held up with the two dogs and the old man with the face. So I'm going to try and complete that before the film starts. And
fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah,
what's the film tonight?
Goodfellas.
It's a classic. I just cut out a bit when you said that is exciting. Is Goodfellas the one? I feel like I know Tom's made me watch it. Am I a comedian to you? Do you find me funny?
Yes, it's a brilliant film. There's one scene with a lot of women in it and it makes my heart fill with joy, and I would love to see a film just based on those characters. Like a whole 2-hour film would be beautiful about those women. Yeah.
I mean, they rarely get their own film, though, Anderson. I don't think you should get too excited about that idea. Most women don't need their own film, do they? Women need a scene in a man's film. And we get the idea. There's no need for a whole film about women.
We can remake the film that men make. For our audience, wouldn't that be perfect?
Men love it when we do that.
Oh, they've no issue with that. They're so willing to share. It's great. It's great. You enjoying a Diet Coke? Love
I
it.
am. This show is now sponsored by Diet Coke, Alison.
All right.
They don't know that, but every day I hold up a Diet Coke and say, sponsored by Diet Coke, because I'm hoping they're
Yes.
going to give me £10,000 as a joke.
Well, as we know, Diet Coke are very against the patriarchy. I think their slogan is "Fuck the patriarchy" with Diet Coke. So
No,
it's
you've ruined
beautiful.
my sponsorship opportunities now there. You've ruined it. But the reason I think they might give me £10,000 is, remember the Diet Coke ads, the Diet Coke break?
Yes.
Da-na-na-na-na. And that was a sort of like guilty feminist flip on the idea of women watching, of men watching a woman like a secretary, like a madman style secretary walk through the office. It was the women would take a break from their office job to go and watch this like window cleaner who was a really hot, like magic Mike type guy.
No,
This, you might be too young for this. And they'd
I
all stand
remember it.
there, and it was called Diet Coke Break, this ad. It was like, let's take a
Yeah.
Diet Coke break. And it was when the window cleaner came, they'd all go and get a Diet Coke. And then they'd stand by the window and like watch this hot guy. And I always remember the music. Da-na-na-na-na. And so I feel like a lot of feminists are powered by Diet Coke. This is where I get a lot of my caffeine from. I do a lot of my
Yes.
feminism on Diet Coke. So what I'm hoping is they'll give me £10,000 as a joke. If they get great publicity.
I have it spare. I can't see it not being a thing. I've worn like a leotard for you today. I'll show it
Have
to you.
you? Stop it
Yeah.
right now.
Look
Oh
at
my
that.
God, that's phenomenal.
I know. It's
Wow.
actually a swimming costume over
Yeah.
one of these. I'm just very excited to be socializing with someone and talking to someone, so it's been great.
I know that feeling. I do know that feeling. I put some makeup on for this. So
Oh.
yeah, I'm starting to put on like eyelashes every day because Kerry Pritchard-McLean, the
Yes.
fabulous, the iconic Kerry Pritchard-McLean, who was the glamour
The
queen. She's a glamour
human
queen.
rhinestone, that's what I would call her. Like
Human rhinestone, absolutely. And she's a
yeah.
very, very glamorous woman. But she's got a down-to-earth glamour, which I really admire.
Yes,
It's not a
yes.
hovering glamour that makes everyone else feel rubbish. She is
No.
completely rooted and grounded in glitter.
Look, she's a yes, absolutely. She's like the most glamorous person on a soap opera, and I mean that with the nicest. Do you know that kind of glam?
I mean, is that complimentary? I don't, I the most glamorous person on the soap, depends on the soap opera, I suppose. Oh, I was sort of thinking
Yeah.
of an American soap opera, but you mean like
I was
she's.
meaning EastEnders. I was meaning she
I
would
know what you
be
mean.
a gla or no, like Coronation Street, like
Yeah,
just
like
a
an
glamorous one.
EastEnders Corrie,
Yeah.
one of those characters you can always rely on, completely fabulous, but just
Eight
almost
marriages, breaks hearts,
break a
beautiful.
heartbreaker. Yeah. Oh,
Yeah.
yeah. For a minute, for some reason, when you said soap opera, I thought of like one of those American soap operas where they're all very brittle and
Oh.
they've all got sort of like that kind of face. But you're right. In Corrie or EastEnders, she'd be a heartbreaker, but
Yeah.
also a heart maker. You know, she'd be the someone who would allow other people to come into their own sense of self-expression.
Yeah. In American stuff, they always receive news like this. It's like, wait. I think not.
Play that out. We can play that out. I think your character should be called Dievely. So
Oh.
I'll give you a line. So you turn away, and I'll walk into the room. So I'm going to walk into the room. Okay. Dievely, Steed's here for you.
You leave me and my baby alone. That's my baby. Sorry.
Steed will not be happy. Steed is the father of that beach ball.
Is he
Steed has every right to see his child.
though? You tell Steve. I was going to kick the ball, and I was like, that would be a bit much for his hope.
Yeah, that would be a bit much. That would be a bit much.
Yeah. But,
Steed is at the door. And Steed is at the door and he wants to see his own flesh and blood, unless it's not really his baby.
Boom,
And
boom,
that's the problem
boom.
all along.
It's a beach ball. It's a beach ball. It never was a baby. I don't know how to
Is it his beach ball at least?
He's gonna know. Yes. What do you take me for? It is his beach ball. Deborah. I've just gone mad, and I feel
We all have.
I've bought a lot of wigs, Deborah. I don't know what to do.
I wish I had your first one, because it was nothing like this. I so want to compare these two. You know what I'm calling this period? Because I was just writing for something. I had to write for the Telegraph about my lockdown. And am I allowed to say that? Too late! I've said it. And one of the things I was writing about is the archive of the new normal goes from people genuinely being like in shock at first into a sort of mourning, like where a lot of the comedians and activists we're talking to were crying, and then into a sort of resilience and making it work, and like this is we can do this, and this is how, and we are now in the phase that I call Lockholm syndrome.
Yes.
Where we have been owned, and we're like quite scared of going back out there again, and what it means for our lives to be dashing around. A lot of people, I'm not obviously not a homogenized experience, and we're doing things like, well, in this world, in my flat, the rules are this, and it is things like, I've bought wigs, and there's going to be a puppet party.
Yeah, it's silly season here. It genuinely is. It's kind of, I'm going to bring you out in the balcony because my flatmate is doing his guitar music. Which
I just said, while you do that, I should be busking, but I'm actually going to clean my glasses. So,
I'll give people a view. I wonder. I did not, but there's some pigeons that have laid a nest in my neighbor's balcony.
Oh,
yeah, it's pretty cool. But the nest is facing their house, so I can't show you. So it looked like literally I'm holding a phone and pointing it into their sitting room, and then going, "Oh, it's okay. It's pretty guilty feminist." So
I mean, would they mind? Would they mind? You could do it quickly. You could pretend you were taking a selfie.
Okay.
Pigeons. We want to see the pigeons.
Okay, 2 seconds. 2 seconds. Okay. Three, two, one. Oh, I got it. I don't want to be like that. That was totally. I couldn't have made it. Why did I make a noise? Why did I make a noise while doing that? That was.
If you hadn't made a noise, they never would have known.
I know. Now I'm looking like they should. Oh, it'll be fine.
I'm so sorry I wanted you to do that.
You did, but look, I'm living on the edge. It's fine. It's fine.
I don't feel that was consensual. I'm so sorry.
No, you're
too. Don't me too me for forcing you to voyeuristically video your neighbours.
But that's how nice you are. That's how you would be me too'd is like just a pigeon, you know?
Just looking at a pigeon.
Yeah. It's worth it.
I mean, if that's the hill I get cancelled on, I'm happy to go down it.
No, absolutely. Yeah. So
somebody nice is saying, you're making my night shift easier. Thanks from NZ. What are you doing on the night shift? Are you in a hospital?
They said New Zealand. Yeah, I wonder.
Are there some other kind of essential services? It could be like a round the clock for food or shelter or something like that. I don't know. No. She might say, I think it was Catherine or something? Kate's.
We'll find out.
Okay, Kate's 120. We'd love to know what you're night shifting on.
Absolutely. But, on the night shift. Kate's on the night shift.
You do need to understand that for Alison, shifting is snogging or passion.
Yes!
Because Alison is Irish and she's always talking about getting the shift.
I am, and it's beautiful that normal people has used the word shift. I feel so seen. Apart from them having
people.
Normal people.
Not Irish people.
Have you? So normal people has just come out on BBC Three, and it's after creating ructions in some parts of Ireland. I listened to a radio show where people were ringing in. I mean, the sex scene is the most consensual sex scene I've ever seen in my life. Your man asks, like, do you need me to get a condom? It's wonderful. It's
where,
the new
where is this?
Normal People is a new BBC Three series.
Normal People, everyone's like, I've only seen one episode, but everyone's really raving about it. I wasn't sort of like, oh my God, doing backflips, but I think it was over hype, but I'm going to stick with it because people are raving about it. By the way, Kate's 120 says she's a nurse.
Oh, okay.
She's nursing and procrastinating with her notes, and we all love you here. We love you. Thank you for nursing through COVID.
Yeah, thanks, Kate.
Guilty feminist hugs. I'm going to give you a guilty feminist hug. Okay. Virtual hug.
Okay, right there. Right in the tip.
Are we... I don't want to accidentally kill the call.
Is this cybering, Deborah? Is this what we're doing?
Oh, my God. Instagram will cancel us. I know. You're allowed to do cleavage, you're just not allowed to do nips.
Okay, frottage. We're doing a bit of Instagram frottage. But,
frottage! I'm getting cancelled on pigeons. You are definitely getting cancelled on frottage.
I will. I'll go down
frottage
with that. Frottage
is the thighs. Isn't it rubbing something between your thighs?
No, it's like rubbing with clothes on. It's grinding. It's great because in Ireland they used to have nuns that would go to discos that would watch the teenagers dance. And then they would put a ruler between the two teenagers and go, leave room for Jesus. They'd have to
leave room for Jesus. Yeah.
I know.
I think I've heard that also for the Holy Spirit. Leave room for the Holy Spirit.
I wonder how big the Holy Spirit is compared to Jesus. Like, is there a different kind of sizing or what?
Well, I would think leave room for Jesus is a whole man. And he was probably quite well built. He was a carpenter. And I feel like he was a perfect man. I can imagine he being quite... You know, I don't know, what is a perfect man, though? I mean, that's sort of quite body fascist to say perfect man. But the Holy Spirit is sort of, the lever of the Holy Spirit's good because the Holy Spirit could slide in very wafer thin.
Like wafer thin ham. Like the Holy Spirit is a condom, basically. It's just that.
Sandy says, what's Jesus doing on the dance floor? Good point.
I know, especially between teenagers. He's going to get done now sometime. He shouldn't be a teenager.
Do you think Jesus is going to get me too'd for sliding between snogging teenagers, shifting teenagers? Somebody says John Hamm. Oh, Jesus is John Hamm. Yeah, that would be my John. That would be my Jesus. John Hamm with a beard.
Nice. You'd be crying at that crucifix.
Hey, John Paul says, leave room for Jesus is my mantra.
That's a very good mantra. That is a very good mantra to have. Very good.
Someone here says the perfect man is Tom Selinski. Thank you very much. He'll be very complimented. Jesus was hot. That's right. I said it. And yes. Why would you need a condom on the dance floor? Well, there was some Irish discos that got a bit frisky. somebody misdiagnosed says every word is a t-shirt today. That's so true. But you have to somehow casually slide in your
original. We slide it in. Because it's already, because the t-shirt's available. So wait, do you want me to present you now? Wait,
I'll ask you the question I asked you last time.
Yes.
Alison, has this changed your habits at all? Have you changed the way you're behaving at all because of the quarantine? Is there anything that you as a person are doing differently?
Yes, Deborah. I'm not going to catch.
I'm going to set up because I know what your setup was. I know. Okay, turn around. Okay. Last time you were on the show, Alison.
Yes.
Which sadly we were not able to record. You said that one way you changed your habits was that you husbanded your resources and your groceries a lot more, whereas before you'd think, yeah, I'll have a chocolate bar. And now you're thinking like, oh, I'll have one bite of a chocolate bar. Can I get the same endorphins and nice feeling from that and save it? And I can't remember why you said that you would do that. Why was it?
Because, Deborah, I'm not going to catch Corona for a flake. Boo!
Yes! That's the t-shirt catchphrase. I'm excited for people to, when this goes up on Instagram Live and YouTube, for people to screenshot that moment.
I think so. Yeah, I think
that moment is gif-able, you swinging around with your houseplants.
I've always wanted to be a meme.
The ever gif-able Alison Spittle.
That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said about me, Deborah. Thank you.
I saw somebody say to Susie McComa on Twitter after her latest episode came out, said, I can't prove it for sure, but I'm incredibly sure that my dog would like you. And she said, that's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. I'm sure my dog would like you. Isn't that great?
That is very nice. I wonder if their dog is like a very big judge of character. It's a strange thing.
Sunny J says, I snorted so loudly, my kids started crying. Is that good. Presumably when you turned around with the plant and the headdress?
That's me, Alison Spittle, bringer of tears for children.
Okay, I need to ask you some questions.
Yeah.
Because I'm interested to see if they're different from last time.
Yes.
Has anything surprised you about this?
People's behaviour has surprised me in positive
good
ways.
Or bad?
Yeah, I'm bad. I mean, it's do you know what? My mum has been amazing, and she's really coming to her own. Kind of my youngest sister on her side has just turned 18, and she's been volunteering and really community minded, and like my mum is an absolute inspiration to me. So that's been good. The negatives, I don't know. I think I've been surprised by how homesick I am for Ireland as well, because I've been living here nearly 2 years, and I was born in Britain. But I found myself kind of adhering to Ireland's lockdown laws rather than here, because, and this is not, I don't want to get political on it or like.
No, get political. We love political at the Guild's Fair.
Boris just had a baby, and I know that like he's not able at the moment to listen to criticism, but.
Jude Kenny yesterday from Women of the World, who's an incredible woman, by the way, and she dropped knowledge left, right, and centre on this show. But she said, "I'm really hoping that having a baby is going to soften, and getting COVID is going to soften Boris Johnson and make him empathetic." And I was like, "But none of the other 15 babies seem to make an impression on him. He's got so many babies. He's got babies he won't admit to. He's got babies he doesn't know about. None of them have activated his empathy.
He's got like a cupboard full of beach ball babies. It's like he's got so many.
Is that beach ball Boris Johnson's baby? Because if it is,
look, he's an irresistible man. He's a ruffian.
Sorry, go on. So Boris Johnson can't take criticism. So you don't want to upset him, but.
But I feel very rudderless here. In regards to information and warnings, and also that. The death toll has not really been reported properly. So it just makes me feel like I don't want to watch the news because it's not giving me the full news. Mm. And also, I'm just quite sad. Mm. Probably because I have aunts. I have relatives that work in care homes and homes for the elderly. And they've been talking about how it just sounds horrific. It just that the poor people are just praying and with rosary beads the whole time. They try to switch off the TV and the news, and all they want to do is watch the news. So it's quite like fucked up and sad, and I'm getting quite mad that they're not being reported, or you know, that the numbers are being a bit, you know, because sorry, I know I'm wearing a headdress and talking about that shit, but
it's very much your brand, babe.
I know.
Politics and a ludicrous headdress is very much your brand. Does that bring us on to the question, do you have a feminist action you would like us to participate in, or an activist action?
Actually, yeah, I was thinking about this. So there's an individual one, actually. There's this little girl in my town that has got a tumour and can't get help in Ireland and has to go to America, and she's to raise a lot of money. And I know I was supposed to do a gig actually this weekend to raise money for her, but that's gone. So I will find the GoFundMe for her medical bills, and I will send it to you. And I'd love if you could donate to her today, because I'm sure everyone has picked, like, you know, domestic abuse charities, which are great, and you know,
and also Trussell, and there's been lots of big ones, Choose Love, that kind of thing. But if you have somebody personal, we could make a big difference to one individual.
Yeah, it'd be wonderful. Because imagine having the stress of having a child with a medical condition that you need to travel for, and also being in the middle of a pandemic. Like, it's just too much. So I'd like to help them.
Babe, if you make a story with a swipe up feature and then send me the link, I'll put it on the Guild's Feminist and with a swipe up. Simon is saying the headdress looks a lot like the one Deborah auctioned off on stage for charity without any prior warning. I did do that to Alison once. I sort of basically said, can I auction that off for the charity? It was the bushfires, the Australian bushfires, which seemed like a million years ago, but it was a couple of months ago.
Well, that was the last time we saw each other. I think so. Doesn't matter.
No, was it? Anyway, maybe. Yeah, probably, because then I went on tour and came back and COVID happened immediately. So I said I was trying to raise more money, and Alison wears these iconic headdresses, and I thought like she had loads, and I said, can I auction this off? And she had to say yes. Again, it was non-consensual. It was exactly like Filming the Pigeons all over again. And it was the original Filming the Pigeons. And then
there was this back and forth, and the man was, I think he was just trying to put money in. He didn't really want it. And Alison was, could see he was just going to chuck it away or give it to somebody. So she was like, can I give something else instead? I think you offered to give a sexual favour instead.
A hand job, I believe, which I think is the monetary equivalent.
Of a very nice headgear. Anyway, just to be clear, no headdress or hand job was exchanged. No animals were harmed in the making of that benefit. And no, he didn't take, he gave the money and he didn't take anything, I think.
Which, nice guy.
Yeah, I think he probably woke up next morning with a hangover thinking, what the fuck did I do last night? can I ask you?
Yes.
Have you had a dark thought or a low moment that you would tell us about? I remember last time you literally told us about spilling milk. Oh, you cried over spilt milk.
I did. Oh, yeah. I suppose the darkest stuff that's happened to me over this period that I'm willing to talk about is my granduncle died of COVID there last week. And it's like, but the saddest thing was like, I thought to myself the other day, that would have been a good funeral because his side of the family are lovely. They're people I like to meet and hang out with. So they're my second cousins. And, you know, you only see them at funerals or weddings. And also, he was a really, really nice man. But because of the restrictions that have come in, you know, only... and he's five kids. So only 10 people were allowed in the church at the funeral. So that's not a lot of people. And also, you know, in Ireland, we have a big culture of laying out the body and you know, making it into like a 3-day event. So that's the lowest moment actually, because the milk was the lowest moment for me before. But do you know, like, there's something really dignified about Irish culture in regards to funerals. I think we deal with that really well, and we've had to deal with it a lot. So that was kind of sad, because I would have went back for that funeral. Do you know that type of thing?
Yeah. That's happened to so many friends of mine, where they've just had to mourn without any of the normal markers or things that you would do. And it's really hard to mourn when your body isn't going through those normal things, and that funerals are for the living, not for the dead. They're for us to be able to get closure.
Yeah.
And Steve Alley was writing about that in his Tortoise Media letter about how refugees get used to no closure. You get used to having to mark your own. That's the end of that, because there's so much death and there's so much, you know, you leaving your school in the middle of the school year and not being able to say goodbye to everyone. That is just absolutely standard for refugees. And it's the last thing you think about when you meet a refugee. You're not like, oh, how was it to quit just 6 weeks before your finals and run for it? Like, you're not thinking about that. But of course, there's no closure on your education, there's no closure on, you know, running away from people who got bombed, who died, and you never got to see their body, you never got to go to the funeral, you never got to hold them or hug their mom or anything like that. So I think that was a really poignant piece for me that he wrote for Tortoise Media, because I was like, we don't even think about that, but now we're experiencing that, of what it's like to kind of have to find our own ways to mourn somebody.
And also, the other thing is, my way of comforting, like, take for instance, my granddad, his brother that died. So he used to listen to me on the phone, console him, but he's not he's an Irish man, so he doesn't really talk that much about his feelings. Normally what you do is you'd give someone a hug and that's enough, and you'd leave them have their space, but it's so hard nowadays. You have to verbalize everything. So I have to go to my granddad. Before, I didn't need to say anything to him. I would go, oh, you know, and give him a hug. Just show up and be there. And now I have to be like, I am so sorry that your brother has died. This must be very hard for you. This, you know, nobody wants to hear that. Like, it's so, I think that's the thing is, like, there are a lot of people that are not verbal and have got through life perfectly fine and are able to show their love through, you know, little things that they do for each other or touches or whatever. I really can't wait to go back home to be around my grandparents and not talk to them. you know, just be there.
That's such an interesting point, Alison. I've not heard anyone talking about that. You should write something about that. The idea that there are so many people who just prefer like a squeezer, as you say, just showing up for the funeral, hand on shoulder. That's actually what they want. They don't want you going, I feel so sorry for you. You must feel very bad. Like you, it's a, either a different generation, cultural, just personal, individual, someone who doesn't, who, you know, who has built up walls and doesn't want to talk about everything. That's so interesting. And yeah, now you have to. And there's what ways are there of, you know.
Because I'd love to, if anyone knows, especially because my Irish grandparents have a phone, it's, you can't, even if you're doing like a text conversation, if you send like a little heart that goes, or on Facebook where you like something, that is kind of like a way of going, I'm there, I'm showing up. But with this, it's just, and when you're silent on a phone as well, people feel the need, same with being on Instagram or Zoom, right? We can't stay in silence with each other and be comfortable about that. We can't, because it feels like dead air. So, and I've tried to be like silent on the phone to my granddad. He'd be like, okay, now I have to go. Bye-bye. And like, it's just, so that's been mad, I think. And as well as that, because I've been doing co-video parties every day, or I've been doing something every day, and I haven't like assessed my feelings and stuff on stuff. So it's been hard.
Somebody here called Jay-Z Beck says it's called gestural narrative, that thing where you show up for the funeral and you touch someone on the arm and you smile at them and you put your head on one side. And Simon says sometimes making a lasagna for someone grieving or sorting out admin could be better than calling them.
Listen, Simon has made that's the best point ever, because when I'm at a funeral, I'm always washing up or I'm drying up, and that's how I feel I can help.
My favorite church.
No, like at the wake.
Right. Yeah. It's like you're wheeling in a kitchen sink and just being like, I just want to show how I feel about you.
I've
got some dirty dishes and I'm going to wash them. We thought you might give a eulogy, Alison, because you're the comedian of the family and you're so good at speeches. And we know that Uncle Roger would like you to say something funny and poignant. And no, I'm just going to get on stage and wash up.
Yeah, that would be my I think we've talked about Rose of Tralee before, but that would be my Rose of Tralee little talent that I would do. Because if to do a little talent, I would do wash up, definitely.
If you don't know what the Rose of Tralee is, listen to the episodes of Guilty Feminist with Alison, in which she unpacks and explains the greatest beauty pageant in the world.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Somebody else here says nearly 12 months since we saw you awesome women in Plymouth. Gutted we're not going to see you this month. I know, we should be on tour right now, Alison. You and I should be on the road.
We should have done the Apollo.
How did
you feel Friday? Because I cried Friday. Because a little Google reminder came up and it said Apollo.
Guilty Feminist Live at the Apollo. Because I know that show will happen.
Yeah.
And there is something about this period for me where I don't have FOMO because nobody is, like, if that show had been pulled and other shows were going on, I would have been devastated. But because no shows can happen, I'm just
just, I don't know, it's like a cognitive dissonance. I'm just transferring it all in my mind. I'm just going, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. The world needs this period to rest and repair and heal and, you know, heal this, you know, to sort of take time for this terrible virus to be conquered and also heal the environment and heal some of this racing around the world that I've been doing for years. I'm sort of starting to look in the mirror and go, oh, you haven't been quiet and still. This is a real guilty feminist thing to admit. I'm going to admit something that I probably wouldn't, I don't know. Should I say it?
Do. I'm going to sit down on the bed and listen to you because this feels like.
So this is, it's a real guilty feminist, this. This is a real, this is the kind of thing that I shouldn't say on broadcasting, but I always do because it sort of feels like it's a feminist thing. And I might actually talk to Amica George about it because my periods had become so light that I thought, oh my God, they're going away. And my periods have come back really strongly. And I, in lockdown, and I think it's because I was so stressed from all the running around the world that I've sort of, my periods weren't coming properly. It's really interesting. And it's sort of, it's just something that happened to my body because I haven't rested. I've been working a million miles a minute for years and I'm still working very hard in quarantine. I'm writing around the clock and I'm making these shows and I'm making The Guilty Feminist, but I think I'm being still. I'm not, I'm not like running to an airport and I'm getting on a train and going here and going over, back in a cab, Hammersmith Apollo, coming back next morning, meeting in Soho. Like I'm not doing that anymore. And so it's like someone said, Jay-Z said, my periods have hit me like a sack of bricks.
Me too. How do you solve my relationship and my periods have been almost like my relationship with Amazon delivery people where I'm like, oh, this is a different thing today. Yes, hello. Yeah. Do you know? I've all of a sudden kind of treated my periods like they're like before, I just didn't think of them. And now, I mean, that sounds like I'm a horrific person. But
No, it doesn't. So what's happening? Sorry.
Oh, because I was comparing them to Amazon delivery people, and then I kept talking, and then I was like, no, but with periods, I've gone into how are you? I get like a hot water bottle now, and I get the maximum. I get these wonderful painkillers from Ireland, called Sulpidine, which you can't get here. I think. It's the best. So I'll have one of them and a nice hot water bottle and I'll watch any old shite. And I've been treating my periods like a spa day, almost. Yeah. What is? Your body's cleaning itself out. You're giving
I'm glad I've talked about this now because everyone's saying their periods have been totally different in quarantine. Some have gone away, some have really noticed them more. That's really interesting. That's really interesting that everyone's having different periods than what they... Our bodies are so in tune with our minds. Like, they're just... We don't realise how much our bodies and our minds are connected.
Yeah, definitely. And also, we're kind of still now, so we have no choice but to be connected with our bodies as well. You know? You're right about... I think where you said that you were travelling so much, you know, you don't really kind of stay in the stillness of your own body. And that's
100%. I just feel like I feel like being, just having to stay in one place, the stress that's gone off my body is immense. And I feel really bad saying it because COVID is killing people. And and our NHS workers and similar, you know, frontline responders are working like they've never worked before. So this is me saying this within the balance of understanding that the stress on some people's bodies has gone up so much. This is obviously incredibly personal, what I'm telling you. It is not some kind of glorious silver lining to this horrendous shit show that the world has found itself in. But it is interesting as a woman and a feminist and a haver of periods that that this is a phenomenon that my body understands something in the world greater than me is happening, and also the stillness that has been imposed upon me that I never would have stopped ever, and it's been government mandated, forced upon me by a virus, and it is a shock.
Yeah,
it's a shock how much I was doing and how still I am now.
I was thinking about you actually, because sometimes when I'm very busy and I'm stressed and I'm like, but I'm not as busy as Deborah, you know, and I don't know how you physically could have done it.
I look back, I mean, you were ridiculously busy as well, Alison, and it's by no means a competition, but I was saying the same to Phoebe Waller-Bridge. She was, you know, always seemed to be like, oh, she's in LA, then she's in New York, she's making a full TV show. I don't know what she was doing. She said on the show that she's really calmed down. You know, this has been a period of sleep and, you know, restorative, same thing, you know, balanced in with the privilege of being able to sleep and not being an NHS nurse. But, you know, somebody here saying, hey, Hev saying, it's like Sindhu said, it's time to go inside. And Sindhu's episode is ridiculously good. It's so, she was talking about grieving her mother.
And like the thing about Sindhu is, Sindhu's another person that I've looked upon that has just been an absolute go-getter. And do you know, when she was talking about being sick, it was almost like I would never imagine Sindhu being sick or being vulnerable. So it really kind of hit me. It's like, it's like when when like David Bowie died, I just never considered him to be a human at all. And then that makes you really put it into context about your own mortality. And when Sindhu was sick and scared, then it put it into context for me. And I was like, oh gosh, like this is real for so many people.
Yes. You know? Yes, yes, yes. Yes, it's absolute. Yeah, that's absolutely right. When someone who you feel is iconic or untouchable is going through something so human visceral and sort of vulnerable. And that's the thing about the new normal. That like that weeks one and two, it was like watching someone, people had ripped open their chest. There was always like a throbbing humanity inside. It was like, oh my God, it was like opening an oven door. And like, and I mean, I'm sure if I look back on those shows, I will also seem like that. Do you have any renewed hope for humanity because of all that's happened, Alison?
Oh, definitely. Definitely do. I would like for humanity to, I mean, I'm sure everyone has said this, but you know, the key workers and people don't get paid a lot for doing work that is incredibly important, and that should change. So my renewed hope is that like society will reset on that and see what jobs are actually worthwhile. That would be my hope.
I bloody well hope the nurses and the teachers come out after this and just go, we're not going back unless you pay us double. Yeah, 100%. But the teachers, if the teachers said, we are not taking your children back unless you pay us double, parents would demand. They would be down at Westminster saying, pay them now. We need our children out of the house.
Yeah, yeah. I feel that. That should happen. I can't see why that. And, I mean, we can go and clap for people as much as we can, but we also need to pressure the government to make changes so that people are paid well. There are people that, like, I don't understand in London how a healthcare worker can live in central London and work at the same time.
It's outrageous. So outrageous. I hope we do pay them more. And the habits, any habits that you might take on board because of this?
I think when we were chatting first, didn't I say I was doing a meditation every day?
Yes.
Like 21. Yeah, I reached day 7 of that and then ballsed it up. So
Focus on what your body needed at the time.
Yeah, yeah. And then I felt like it was something for me to beat myself up about. So I think I'm just going easier on myself psychologically. And trying my best. And I need to cut myself slack. Because I feel that every day I'm a disappointment to myself in different ways. Which is really...
That's another T-shirt.
I know.
Every day I'm a disappointment to myself. The new normal, Alison Spittle. Statement.
But I do. Because sometimes I have such... I don't know what is with me. Because sometimes I'm very ambitious. And I'm very coherent and very good at doing stuff, right? And sometimes I'm just like really surprised by myself. And I'm like, you did a good job there, Alison. You really put faith in yourself and you did it, right? But most of the time I'm not. And I just, not most, well, some of the time I'm not. And I feel like I need to
It's been hard to it's been hard being in this quarantine and feeling like I should be writing and I should be doing more.
There's
And
no should be in quarantine, babe.
I
There's no should
know.
be. There only is or isn't. If you are, what I find is, excuse me,
Yeah.
sorry to get into therapy, but I just think, can you just put the camera down a bit more so I can see your face? Thank you.
Yeah, sorry. I hate my neck. I know that's fucked up. I keep doing this
No, I'm it's a
all the
real, I'm
time.
firm in the spot. Oh, I haven't asked you. I'm firm in the
Yeah.
spot, so I must. No, you can put it down. Put it down wherever makes you feel comfortable. This is not a pigeon situation. I
Wait
demand to
there.
see more of your neck.
Do you know what? I'll just sit in the chair. I'll just sit in the
Whenever I'm lying down and you know
Yeah.
that selfie camera comes on you unexpectedly, I'm like, oh my God. Like
Especially
it's fucking arresting. It's scary.
when I'm lying.
I don't believe in that should not be a function. You should have to
Yeah.
demand the selfie camera comes around every time. You should have to say, yes, please, I'm ready.
Yeah. I need to make a headdress with an attachment that just holds there. And I can just have it like that all the time.
Nice. That's a good
Yeah.
idea. That's a really good idea.
That is,
What were we talking
yeah.
about? I feel like we were
You
talking
were
about
gonna,
something.
we were, you were gonna go into therapy, I think, or something.
Oh, therapy, yes.
No.
What I found is if you do want to do some writing, the best thing to do is active relaxation where you go, this afternoon, all I'm doing is
Yeah.
watching three episodes of Normal People. That's my plan day. That's my schedule. And
Yeah.
then I'm going to do, I've got 1 hour in the diary where I can put some ideas down if I want to. And all I have to do is get the laptop out or get the notebook out, however you write. That's my commitment, is to sit in front of it and see what comes out. Or write, just put, you know, don't take your hand off the page and just see what comes out. Be curious as to what comes out. Just, you know, do 5 minutes of automatic writing or something like that, where you're just letting anything come out, like your daily pages. And then if more wants to come out, invite it to come out. Like, be curious to see, like, show up to see. But active relaxation is the best thing you can do for yourself. Because what I normally do is, like, I just think, oh, I'll just watch one more episode of this and then I'll definitely write. You know, I'm just noodling around on YouTube. I'm just looking, doing a bit of research. And then you just sort of think, oh, fuck, I'm still on YouTube. What am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing? But actually, schedule in like 2 hours on
Yeah.
YouTube just having a look at some nostalgia. And that release, if that's what I'm meant to be doing, it takes all the guilt away. And it's really lovely because then suddenly you think, oh, that's reminded me of this. Oh, I wanted to write that. And it's the problem is when you're spending hours online, dwindling time away, and the whole time you're feeling guilty because you're not getting the relaxation and you're not getting the writing done.
No, you're so right. I feel just so guilty for existing. Like,
Babe,
I know it's so fucked up, but it's true. It's like,
for existing, but you're the most divine creature in the world. Like, if no Alison Spittle existed, what would we do?
I think it's because I got my self-esteem from being on stage and from being funny, and I could go to myself, "Oh, I'm gonna be fine now in a second. Give me a sec." But I don't know. I feel that I've got praise for being funny and doing stuff on stage and getting validation from people laughing. And when that's gone, I don't know, I just feel a bit lost. I didn't want to cry on this, and it's such bullshit because people aren't dying.
No, it isn't bullshit, Alison. This is what the show's about. It's about things like this. It's true, like where we get our confidence from. I think Jade Adams was talking about this, and she was saying, she's saying exact same thing. She said, that's where I get my confidence, is my performance side of myself. And if I'm not allowed to do it, what,
Yeah.
you know, it just, you don't realize how much your confidence comes from those things. And I think I'm doing some kind of cognitive dissonance thing because I can't even, to be honest with you, imagine performing right now. It's so, I've had to push it away because I can't look at it. And I think what you're doing now is very healthy. It's very healthy to just go, this is really, was that a bottle of wine that you just swigged from, by the way? You look like a bottle of wine.
No, wait, this is water. This is
I mean, I
water.
just love it. If it was like just a bottle of Chardonnay, it's just like,
I do have alcohol. I should do maybe. No, I
it's a
get
really
you.
healthy thing to feel and to process it and go, I absolutely understand what you mean. And the thing is, Alison,
yeah,
you are funny wherever you are and whoever you're talking to and whether you're talking to nobody. You are not less funny and talented now than you were 6 weeks ago. And but I understand it. It's that thing of, yes, but where's the evidence? Where's where's the practice of that?
And I know if I heard someone talking like I'm talking, I would go, you're being ridiculous. I know, it's so weird.
Nobody thinks you're being ridiculous. You're not being ridiculous.
I know. Yeah,
You're not.
I think I would give another person a lot more compassion than I would give myself, and I need to sort that. The other thing is just I just feel sometimes that I have to, when I was a teenager and stuff, I felt like I constantly had to apologize for who I was. So that was being a fat, gregarious person that liked to wear bright colors. Mm-hmm. And then, I would be funny, and no one could go at me because I contributed something to the group or whatever. And then I got a job out of being funny and I loved it. And everything good in my life has happened because I've been funny and people have liked me. So therefore, I got opportunities. And I don't know, it's just, I know myself. It's so ridiculous. Because when I verbalize it, I just know I'm wrong, but...
No, Alison, so many people are going to watch this and relate to it because there's loads of people with loads of different jobs that they can't do or they can't do well at the moment. And a lot of people are furloughed and they're getting 80% of their salary and they can't do the thing they love. It's illegal to, because then their company will have to pay the money back, sort of thing. So people will be relating to this left, right and center, Alison. It's not ridiculous. It is absolutely human. And it's really good to remind ourselves how much of our joy and our confidence and our self-esteem comes from the thing that we do and the thing that we contribute, and to build up the, you know, what you're doing now is you're building resilience and muscle without that. But at the same time, you're grieving and mourning something, which is completely valid. But what I'm going to say to you now is really important. Yeah. We will be back there again. It's not going to be that long. You and I are going to be at Vicar Street on that stage with hundreds of screaming. You know, Vicar Street is my favorite place to play in the world. And I always feel bad for everywhere else. I love playing the Opera House. I love playing Newcastle, Glasgow, New York, incredible. But Vicar Street is special. London, Royal Albert Hall we played. Incredible. Yeah. You and I have done so many shows in so many parts of the world together. But Vicar Street is really special. And I've only played Vicar Street with you. I would not want to play it with anybody else. And I hope I always get to play it with you. And it's the funniest shows I've ever done have been with you in Vicar Street. I don't really know if I've ever done a funnier show than all the shows I've done with you in Vicar Street. And we will be back on that stage again. The Gay Michaels will be in the audience. That crowd, your home crowd, who fucking adore you. And when I say it's Alison Spittle, they go ballistic. It's like a rock concert. It's like I've brought out all of One Direction, but, you know, reunited with the Beatles, who've been half of them have been resurrected. It's amazing. And we will be there again, and we will be funny again. And you know, this is a period. This is not evidence of anybody's worth.
Yeah.
This is a period of restoration, and also understandably mourning and you know, personal growth in lots of very hard ways. But I can't wait to be back with you again on stage.
Yeah, I totally planned it. I pawned city hats and I got beach balls and the plants and stuff because I just wanted to be... I think sometimes when I'm upset or I feel scared, I just willfully go very stupid and very silly because it makes me feel better and it makes me feel like nothing is really that important. But I'm just going to blow my nose because I can feel, you don't want that on an Instagram live. I just wanted to be silly and stupid and stuff. But I suppose the other thing is that right before the lockdown happened and stuff, I mean, for a few months, I've been thinking about my relationship with comedy and what I get from it and maybe because I've been doing it for a couple of years and you just have a think about it because I moved to a new country and it's not what it was in Ireland before. And I yeah, it's almost like I kind of wished it's like there was a monkey's paw thing where I wished that like the world would stop and I could have a think about what I want to do, and then it did, and I realized that I just loved live performing so much. And it's like it's ridiculous. It's
That's a
like
good thing to find out, though. And Alison, you know,
yeah.
you're one of the most special people in my life. You're one of the people I love the most, and you're really authentic, and you really care, and you're really kind. And those things are as valuable as being funny. And
Yeah.
none of those things have gone away. And you know, your goodness and your real kindness is rare. You really are quite selfless. You genuinely do put other people first. And I want to value those things too, because if we've learned anything from this period, it's that human connection and empathy and compassion are the biggest things that we can, the most important things we can have in life, and they're all more important than money.
Yeah, and I felt maybe because I was earning because when March happened, it was supposed to tour Ireland, and I was like, it's when you rely on doing comedy for money, you know, that was my only job. I was like, and that I was having different feelings about it. I was like, oh Jesus, but now that's all gone. I suppose maybe my a good friend of mine gave up doing comedy, and we met as comedians, and like she's an incredible person and lovely, and I kind of saw the way her life has gone since she's given up comedy, and it's not really changed. I don't know. I was just having like all these different, and the other thing is it's very hard to admit because comedy is such a it's such a hard industry to get into. It's also something that everyone feels incredibly lucky to be in, and it's a thing that a lot of people don't get to continue to do. And I feel like almost I was being punished for having thoughts. I don't know. Like it's so weird. It's so weird.
Alison, is there anywhere we can contribute to your, do you have a coffee account or a Patreon account or anything like that?
Oh yeah, I do. I do because I do. I do. I have a coffee account. It's Coffee Alison
It's
Spittle.
KO hyphen FI,
Yeah,
and
and I do like cold video parties every day. I didn't mean to cry. I didn't want to cry. I'm so sorry. I think I'll
don't
probably
be
have a
sorry.
chat with
This
you
is what this
after.
show is, and
I know.
it's all of these things. This is it. This is when the show is actually worth making and having, because this is what all of those people out there watching, thousands of people are going to watch this in the next 24 hours, and they are going to be like, thank God somebody else is crying because they don't feel as valuable in the world anymore. People are going to be like, thank God. Like, honestly, you don't know what it means to people. It means as
Like,
much to people as making them laugh.
yeah, I suppose
We can
with
edit it
this,
out though if you want.
no, feck it, like,
This isn't a pigeon. This isn't a pigeon situation.
it's nothing. Yeah, I need to be, with the coffee can, with I do a cool video party where people watch a film each night, and we've done like 53 of them. 53rd one is tonight, so it's been a long time
Absolutely
since I've been on
amazing.
after.
It's like it's an
I
incredible
know.
film club. People dress up, so
Yeah.
you know what the film is. People dress up with just stuff that they've got at home. They tweet while it's on, they share their pictures of each other, and then Alison does a sort of after sun
Yeah.
you're fired type show afterwards, where she chats to someone. I've tuned in for a couple of those and chatted about the
Yes.
film.
You've been
It's
very good. But
and it's a great show. It's a really, really great show. So, and then we can contribute on your coffee account.
yeah, totally. And before, do you know at the start, someone asked me, did I have a coffee account? And then and someone else actually commented there and saying that sounds like Catholic guilt, babe, and I think it is. I think like most of my life is affected by being guilty for being happy over stuff. There's lots of stuff I do brings me happiness.
There's
Oh.
no need. There's no need for happiness when you have rosary beads.
Yeah.
Can I just say,
Yeah.
also speaking of Catholic guilt, you're also doing comedy masses on a Sunday, yeah?
Yes! Ah, chicken. Yeah. So, and I love it because I'm very lapsed Catholic, but I did miss mass. I don't go to mass, but I miss the idea of mass. And there's this so I do it every Sunday, and we have this there's this lady actually called Carrie Lewis who does chicken dioramas, and we kind of she made up like a an Easter an a depiction of Christ being crucified as a chicken. She's
Wow.
very creative and very good. Actually, I'm going to show you. Do you know the way you ask if there's something cool that we have in our house? I'll quickly bring it over to you. But
I'll
can you hear
bust.
me, Deborah?
Well, I like that tapestry. I can hear you.
My mum had that for me.
I love it. It's very cool. It looks very feminist, very powerful.
I know. So Carrie posted me over some art. She made this. It is
an
ivy
queen.
Wow. That's a lady called Teresa Mannion. And so she comes on and does chicken things, and I give out communion, and we do our favourite hymns. And it's great. And it's every Sunday at 11 a.m. on Instagram Live.
Absolutely love it. Babe, our hour is up and we're going to get kicked off Instagram Live. So quickly, do you have an I'm a Feminist but?
Do you know, I'm a feminist, but I didn't come up with an I'm a Feminist but, and I knew I was coming on this show.
You're amazing. And what's the first thing you're going to do when if they said quarantine's over now, what would you love to do?
Oh, gosh. I would love to hug my mum. I would hug my mum very hard. I know, it's very sincere.
No, it's the same as Phoebe Waller-Bridge's. Quite a few people have said hug mum first. But the two things people say are hug my mum or have sex.
Oh, yeah, maybe both at the same time. Really get rid of that Catholic guilt.
That's just such a shame because you've just been cancelled right at the end. Such a shame. Such a beautiful, poignant, very funny, then very poignant, very real, very honest, very vulnerable. And then right at the end, she got cancelled. Did you hear what Alison Spittle, greatest show of her life, just got cancelled like that on a dime?
I know.
It's important when you're having sex and hugging your mum to leave room for Jesus.
Yes, I'm a mother hugger. What can I say, Deborah? That's what I...
And on that note, tomorrow, everybody, at 6 p.m, I think we've got Abigail Shimon. Thursday, we've got Brona C. Titley. And Friday, we've got the incredible Leila Hussein. All of those acts are absolutely brilliant. And Leila's an activist who has an anti-FGM charity. Do not miss any of those. 6 o'clock, and then they're on Instagram Live for 24 hours. Then they're on YouTube. If you've missed any of them, there's a great... our back catalogue on YouTube. We've got Mae Martin, we've got Sindhu V, we've got that we referred to. We've got some really great episodes. Sarah Pascoe's episode is brilliant. Susan McComa, and there's the associated t-shirts at guiltyfeminist.com, and go to merch, and then it's the stay-at-home t-shirts. Buy one of Alison's right now because she gets 100% of the profits, and it says, I'm not going to get...
I'm not going to get Corona for a flake. Isn't that right?
That's right. Thank you, Alison Spittle. Thanks for coming back. I'm in a way, weird way, I'm sort of glad your other one didn't get saved now because this was so much better.
Yeah, I was a bit more honest than this one, wasn't I?
So honest. I wasn't expecting this ever honesty, and I love it. I started up by opening up about my period.
I know, that's it. Look, that's the perfect way to get someone to open up is like to admit you have a period, and then I'm like, I think the problem in life was I needed to apologise for going
I opened the fucking floodgates.
You
I
did.
Love you, babe.
Okay,
See
bye.
You soon. Bye. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.